Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
I don't know if it does it like this or not. It might do. Might do it that way.
I'm just going to go for it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. How are we all doing? I am live. I can see it there. It didn't warn me. Okay, lots to get into on the show today. We're in the garden. It's very hot in the UK and we've got some hot news for you. And I'm probably a little, I don't need these on. I'm probably a little bit hot anyway, if I'm being honest. Hot under the collar, certainly not weather related, United related. I'm just generally not happy about some of the stuff that's coming out today. The Fernandez thing concerns me. The Ugarte stuff concerns me. But you know what? You know what? Let's ignore all that. Let's forget about all that because Man United have bought some land. United have got some land. That's the big news. Forget the transfer window. Forget the midfield. Forget how hard it's going to be to get back in the Champions League next year. The Glazers and Ineos have bought a bit more land so they can double their value in the club. We celebrate it. I mean, at the end of the day, I reckon everybody get yourself down Old Trafford, leave work, get yourself down Old Trafford and start cheering because we've got some land. We've got some more land. We can build the stadium at some point in the future and make the Glazers and Ineos rich. I mean, is that the real play? Michael Carrick, get us fourth place for the next 10 years and we'll make you rich. Because I sort of like don't care about the stadium. I don't even want the stadium to get knocked down. So I don't really care about the stadium. What I do care about is the midfield. What I do care about is Man United's transfer window. And what I do care about is updates coming in today that United may well not buy a third midfielder because there is a chance that Manuel Ugarte could stay at the football club. Effectively, what Beth was saying this morning, a sell-to-buy policy, which I just find absolutely incredible. Also, I think what Romano said about Spurs and Fernandez, we need to delve into that because that is concerning. I don't know what your interpretation of it is, but the fact that he said whoever presents the best deal to Tottenham probably gets the deal done makes me believe that personal terms on both players is probably doable for Tottenham, which I didn't think was doable for us as well. So that's a bit of a concern as well. We'll talk about Rashford. I want to talk about Somerville. Let me just say this, actually. I think sometimes you should get these sort of things in early. In relation to Somerville and Manchester United, why are we shopping at West Ham? Is somebody going to say to me it's a coincidence that we're in for Mateus Fernandez and we're in for Somerville? They both play for bloody West Ham. This rings out to me of, you know, like imagine you're having a barbecue, yeah? You've got a barbecue on Saturday. It's good, the weather's good. You're going to pop yourself down to Tesco, yeah? You're going to get yourself some burgers. You're going to get some baps. You're going to get something for the vegetarians, exactly, yeah? But you also go, I need a new polo shirt. You know, do I get Lacoste? Do I get Boss? Do I get Ralph Lauren? And then when you're at Tesco, you go, you know what? I can't be arsed. They actually sell clothes at Tesco now. I'm just going to pick up one of those polo shirts. It's lazy. It's not going to be the best quality. And you're getting it because you're lazy and it's there. And I feel like Somerville's a little bit like that. We're getting the burgers. We're getting the baps from Tesco. And while we're there, we're going, oh, they do clothes here and they're cheap. Instead of going the Ralph Lauren or the Lacoste or the Hugo Boss, right? And I think that's how I feel about Somerville. It's like, wow, you know what? We're getting a load of criticism anyway. We need a left winger. They've got a cheap one and we're already talking to them anyway. We don't need to pop into town. And that's how I feel about Somerville. I just feel like it's a massive coincidence that we're suddenly buying players from West Ham. I wouldn't be surprised if we get Diouf from there as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he's our dream left back as well soon. Anyway, that's not what I wanted to start talking about. Land secured for the new stadium. Yes, I couldn't actually give a shit about this, but it's not the Freightliner land. Simon Stone's just confirmed to us that's not the Freightliner land. So the Freightliner land, which they do need to build the stadium, that's not what it is. So anybody who's running upstairs with the tissues, with the Financial Times under one pocket and this under the other and the tissues in their mouth, yeah, don't get too excited. It's not Freightliner land. And actually, I'm not excited about that anyway, because I want to talk about the transfer situation. So look, what's got me hot under the collar today? Essentially, a couple of stories bothered me. Wasn't on the morning show this morning because I had to go to the dentist. So Beth's swapped with me today, which is absolutely fine. I get to be in the garden with you good people. It's all right. My dog's behind me. I have to watch out for her. I don't know whether you can see the dog. Oh, yeah. Over my shoulder there. Is that the dog? I think it is, yeah. You can probably see it better than me because it's small. She basically, she'd be very, tell you what, she's a bit like Jason Wilcox. You know, that tree, she watches the tree for squirrels, yeah? And Jason Wilcox is watching West Ham for any deal that will drop out of that tree. And then he'll pounce. And he doesn't matter how long he's going to wait. He doesn't matter how long he's got to wait. He'll sit there attentively. I'll wait here all summer. I'll wait here all summer. The trouble is the squirrel might not come out. There might be no squirrels coming out. Anyway, let's delve into this. So look, Samuel Lookhurst in The Sun, a few other people this morning reporting about Ugarte. And I take it as a brief, to be honest. United haven't contacted us to say it's not a brief. If they do, I'm more than happy to correct it. But I think this feels like a brief. Obviously, Ugarte played for Uruguay last night and did quite well. And it's been my concern. This, to me, is probably one of the biggest developments we've had in a few weeks. And it does really, really bother me. So basically, what's being said, and I do think it's a brief because it's come out from a few different people, is that United aren't even touting a price around for Ugarte at the moment because they don't want to come across as desperate. And also, they are sort of preparing for a world where he actually stays at the football club. And then there's other reports that we won't go for a third midfielder unless we sell Ugarte. Now, I want to tell you why I think this is bad. And you might have a different interpretation of me. This is bad to me. And look, I was messaging in our WhatsApp group this morning about this. And I haven't seen the morning show yet because I've been so busy. But my issue with this is that, look, of course, Ugarte is going to be hard to sell. He's on 120 grand a week. We spent 60 million pounds on him. I appreciate he's going to be very, very difficult to sell. The issue with it is Ineos, Wilcox, Berarda can't blame the Glazers on this one. They bloody bought him. You know, Rasmus, Mason Mount, they didn't buy him. They did buy Ugarte. So it's on their watch. My issue with it is that I know it's going to be hard to sell Ugarte, but for 12 months, we've known we needed three midfielders. And next season's going to be really, really difficult. And I don't know a football club like Man United that does this all the time, sell to buy. We know we need a midfielder, but we're not getting one until we get rid of the bag of the shit that we're not going to use. And we do this consistently, and it absolutely does my head in. Like, and we will do it. We will do it. And it absolutely pisses me off. So effectively, we will not buy the third midfielder until Ugarte is gone. And we've done this before. We did it with McTominay. Funnily enough, we did it with Ugarte. We needed a midfielder. We needed them in for preseason. We needed them in for the first game of the season. We didn't bloody get them because we wouldn't buy Ugarte until we got rid of McTominay. We must be the only big club in the Premier League that does this, where we know we need something, but we won't go and get it until we've got rid of this. It's like having, you know what? Another analogy, yeah? It's like having, no, I better not do that. It's too borderline. Gary wouldn't be happy. You can't really do it about humans. I was saying, like, if you're in a relationship and your partner's just redundant, but the reason they'd be redundant, not job redundant, like they're just, no, I can't go there. So, like, imagine you've got a car on your drive and it's got no engine, it's got no wheels, and it's totally and utterly, you can't use it, but you need a car. There's cars on the market, you've got the money to spend on it, but you're like, I'm not going to get the car I need until I get rid of the banger. And nobody wants the banger. So you haven't got a car. And that's how United work. It just doesn't work in football. You can't say to Michael Carrick or this fan base, we're not going to get a third midfielder until we sell Ugarte. And this fan base isn't going to go, yeah, this is actually, I'm on board with this. I actually agree with you on this. We shouldn't buy the midfielder that we need until we've sold Ugarte. I'm absolutely on board on this. It does my head in. We do it all the time. It's business. It's not football. So effectively, what could happen is we could start the season without the third midfielder that we need because we haven't got rid of Ugarte. So what you're effectively doing, because this is business and not football, what you're effectively doing is saying, Ugarte's a load of shit and we don't want to use him, but we're not buying a midfielder until we get rid of him. So we'll use Ugarte. What does that do for the ambition and mentality of this fan base if the club is saying, you know, this Ugarte player that Amrim didn't pick and Carrick didn't pick, and we'd rather use Mason Mount than him. We're keeping him. We're keeping him because we're not buying anyone until we get rid of him. It's so resolute. It's so ridiculous. It's so redundant. It's such a stupid way to run a football club. And we do it all the time. Now, you know what? Do you think Arsenal would do that? Do you think Arsenal would go, Boadi's available, but we're not signing him in. We're not going to sign him until we get rid of Norgaard. Yeah, we're not going to do you think Liverpool will go, yeah, we're not going to get Adam Wharton or Alex Scott until we've sold Curtis Jones. Do you think Man City are going to do it? It might happen naturally, but you don't put your plans on hold to do it. And you know what? It's a real bugbear of mine that it's almost become another parameter. And the last thing you want to do with your football club is be able to read it like a book. And I'm not talking about a very good book. You know, I'm not talking about Wuthering Heights. You know, I'm not talking about Oliver Twist. I'm talking about Spot the Dog. You know, have you ever read Spot the Dog? Don't read it when you're over 20. It's boring. Where's the ball? Well, there's a piece of cardboard here. I bet it's under there. Yes, it is. Oh, let's open the page. Where's the ball? Oh, there's a bit of cardboard there pretending to be like a quilt. Oh, it's in this. There. Where's the next page? Where's the ball? Oh, look, there's a bit of cardboard with a door on it. I bet that's where it is. You know, that's the sort of book we're reading with Manchester United. The parameters we have in place at the moment are this. We won't buy people over £80 million. We won't buy people over £200,000 a week in wages. We won't buy people over 26. And we won't buy people until we get rid of people. Well, these parameters are going to break our legs. You know, they are. You know what it is? It's basically like, you know, imagine Usain Bolt in his prime. It would be like, before you go out and win the gold medal, Usain, let's just hit your legs with a sledgehammer a bit. They might break, they might not. We're literally damaging our own chances by damaging our manager, damaging our club. These parameters just don't work. They're business parameters. We're run by Prats. That's what we are. So I'm not happy about that Ugarte update. And I literally said it in our group chat this morning. I went, they're the words I really didn't want to hear. There was three things I didn't want to hear this year. PSR, FFP, and sell to buy. Now, we've avoided FFP and PSR, but sell to buy is back with a bang. So, yeah, I didn't like that. I don't like that. And, I mean, look, maybe some people disagree with me. I don't care. It wouldn't be the first time. But I just don't. If I'm running a football club, yeah. If I'm Sir Jim Radcliffe and I'm sat in the boardroom, and Jason Wilcox says to me, we've got three midfielders lined up. We will get rid of Ugarte, but it's going to be right at the end of the window. And it's probably going to be a loan deal. And it probably happens on August the 31st. I'm not going to say, Jason, we are not buying three midfielders until you get rid of Ugarte. But I can't get rid of him. Well, we're not buying three midfielders then. Well, you're not upsetting me. I still get paid anyway. And I'm actually a Blackburn and Leeds legend, not a Man United player. Well, we're not doing it. It's ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. Michael Carrick is an inexperienced coach going into a very difficult season where the jury's out. Let's be honest. The jury's out, right? He needs three midfielders. You're not going to get one until we get rid of Ugarte. Who are you being stubborn for? What point are you trying to prove? You bloody bought Ugarte, you prat. So for me, it's ridiculous. I want to talk about this Matheus Fernandes thing. But I've had a couple of super chats coming in. Let me just set this up because I'm out in garden and I can read the super chats. I just need to open something up here. We've had a few. Check out the garden. Goldbridge is definitely a multi-millionaire. It's not that big. Mate, I could be at the end of this garden. It's about 20 metres long. All right. I'm defending the garden here. Defending the garden's pride. Matteo says, I hate to say this, but I don't feel like we will get three midfielders. I think two is what the club is looking at. What are your thoughts? Matteo, I'm going to stay positive here. It's not the vitamin D. or A, or whatever it is. Please do share the video, by the way, if you like the garden. Make sure you, it's not even like in the garden. Do you like it, me being outside, doing something a little bit different? Because we could do it for you this week. It's going to be nice weather. So smash the like and share the video. Look, I don't like the words sell to buy. And I'll be very, very, very forthright about that. And I have been. If we only buy two midfielders, like many of you, I will lose my shit. I will slate Wilcox, Berarda, Ineos, and they will get it big time. Absolutely going to get it. So I'll say that first and foremost. However, I cannot believe that they are that stupid. I cannot believe that they are that self-sabotaging. I cannot believe that, I can believe they're incompetent, but I cannot believe that they are that foolish, right? Because Michael Carrick, many of us think it's a risk. It's Ineos's risk. It's Berarda's risk. It's Wilcox's risk. They have made so many mistakes in the last 2 years. They cannot be wrong on Carrick. If I'm giving Carrick the job, I am backing him way more than I would have backed Tuchel, way more than I would have backed Iriola, because they've got to get it right. You're telling me they're going to take a huge risk on Michael Carrick and then not getting three midfielders. Well, I'll tell you what, if that's the case, we're in big trouble, because Carrick's cheap and only buying two midfielders cheap. And if we're doing everything to be cheap, we're fucked. So I would look at it like that and say, you know, I personally think we'll get Matheus Fernandes, who we're going to talk about next. And I personally think Tchouaméni can happen next month. So I still think we'll get three midfielders. But look, I'm not going to tell you 90% sure about that. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say that's a feeling I have. I'm not going to jump on that it's not going to happen. But when you hear things like sell to buy, and your board is the board that we have, I understand why people might say, you know, it's a little bit concerning. Think of the worst thing that could happen in this window and United would deliver it, says Ginger Red. Thank you. Tottenham USA, thanks for your super chat. I've got to say, Tottenham fans, you're going to get some very nice words said about you in a moment.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You are. I am going to say it. Warning, De Zerbi and 90% of Premier League managers has more pull than Carrick. And United without the priorities, promise of high wages, has very little pull as well. Marlo, I've heard a few people saying this, and I don't necessarily think that you're wrong. You're not wrong. Well, what's the pull? We don't have a reputable top-class manager. We don't pay high wages. We don't pay big transfer fees. We don't buy people over 26. We're slow at deals. We've basically just got the Man United brand at the moment. It's a fair point. Z3 Music Official says, this worthless group of people care more about building a new stadium over building a new squad. New window, same crap. Glinios strikes again and screws the fans over in the process. Look, I don't know about anybody else, but as Z3 Music Official says there, I don't care about building a new stadium. Can I just say that? I don't care about building a new stadium. I know we need one, but we need one because these owners let Old Trafford rust. Anfield is an absolutely top-level stadium. When we have the Euros or whatever else is happening in England, Anfield will get it. It's smaller than Old Trafford, but they've looked after it. Old Trafford had nothing wrong with it until the Glazers came in and let it rust. I'm not excited about a new stadium. It's not something that I'm going to go, woo, woo, woo. You know, Tottenham's got a lovely stadium, yeah? Everton Stadium's great, right? I don't think Man United's owners have figured this out. I mean, I might be in the minority, but I don't give a shit about a new stadium, right? And I certainly don't want to sacrifice being a competitor on the pitch for the next decade because the Glazers let Old Trafford rot and now they need to fund something new. They put these press releases out like they're signing fucking Yamal. I do not care about your land acquisition. I do not care about your 100,000-seater stadium because it's only going to benefit you. Once that's built, the Red Army, normal season ticket holders, ticket prices are going through the bloody roof. It's going to be corporate mercenary Manchester United. So I don't actually care. I think knocking Old Trafford down is going to be a very sad day for what fundamentally
is a working person's football club. So all this about acquisition of land and everything like that, I do not care about it. I don't care. They could open it tomorrow and I'd go, that looks nice. I don't want to wait 10 bloody years for it. And I don't want United on the pitch being ruined by it. But look, we'll have to wait and see. Some people are very excited about it. Emily Derry says, all of these briefs about sell to buy, not overpaying, don't give the impression of good planning or good practice. It says we don't care, we aren't competitive, we aren't ambitious, and we are gettable, says Emily Derry. Well, I want to come back to that, Emily, because I think there's something about that, about the Fernandez deal that sort of exposes something. We're heading towards 10,000 live people watching. Make sure you smash a like on the video if you like us being outside. It's lovely weather in the UK this week, by the way. And to all those idiots, this is not football related. You know what they do in the UK? You know, if you're going to get a few days hot, when they put the weather on, they make the country red. Like, oh my God, there's a heat wave. And they make it red, right? In the 70s, we had about 3 weeks of like scintillatingly hot weather, droughts, everything. It's just hot. It's the summer. Hydrate yourself. Keep your curtains closed to stop the heat coming in and, have a barbie. Lee says, we will sign no more than 4 players this summer. Everyone else will be youth and academy players. Carrick won't last the year. Thank you very much, Lee, as well. Daniel Thompson's in the chat. He says, hope all well. Can we get your dog and squirrel is chasing in charge of United? Would do a better job. They're making Carrick's job impossible before it's even started. Disgrace. Thank you very much, Daniel. And I'm watching you from TV. My wife will see that garden and want it. I'm operating in United's budget on news. The club stress me, says Nate. Thank you very much, Nate. And also Dan says, I wouldn't be surprised if we start the season with Mainu, Edison, Ugarte, Fletcher and Collier as our midfielders. This is to win the league. Rubbish. Well, don't sleep on Fletcher. He's a World Cup star. Not had a minute in the World Cup, I don't think, yet. But, you know, that'll do. You know, we don't need a midfielder now. We've got Fletcher. We won't bid without player buy-in for Anderson, but we are trying for Fernandez, obviously, without player buy-in. Double standards, Galinios out, says Blame Shifter. Show some ambition soon or we won't attract anyone, says Martin. And guess the news is stadium with 25,000 more seats. I'm buying 6 players cheaper than new stadium, but what do I know, says Ake. And also, have they spent the budget on the land, says Farhad? Probably. With Andy Burnham looking likely to become the new PM, I expect the onus to focus to shift completely to the new stadium. That's all they're there for, says only Andy forever. Yes. Okay. Well, I want to talk about Fernandez now. Look, Emily Derry makes a great point there. What have we been doing for the last 12 months? I think as United fans, all we actually want is the days of Sir Alex Ferguson, where he's almost like your adopted dad or granddad. You trust him. He makes mistakes. You question his team selections, but you trust the guy because he's obsessed with winning. He's not obsessed with financials. He's not obsessed with building stadiums. He's obsessed with winning. He's a football manager and he wants to win. And when he doesn't win, he shows you that publicly in post-match interviews. He's obsessed with Man United being the best. That's all he cares about. That's all we care about. We just want some leadership that echoes the way we feel. And we haven't had it for 13 years. Let's be real. We haven't. Maybe Mourinho a little bit, but we haven't really had it. That's what we want. We want some leadership, direction and planning. We know that that midfield is huge. This is not about being spoiled fans saying we want Yamal or we want Harry Kane or, you know, we want Valverde or Bellingham. We just want 3 decent midfielders. We have had to sacrifice a lot as Man United fans over the years. We are not asking for Kimmich, Jude Bellingham and Vitinha. We're basically asking for 3 decent midfielders. Edison, Matheus Fernandes, Tchouaméni. Edison, Alex Scott, Tonali. We're literally not even asking for what we should be getting. The very, very best. And they still don't seem to be able to manage that. And I think that is the frustration in the fan base. And it's also the fact that, as Emily says, we've known this for 12 months. We've known Casemiro was going because we wanted him gone. It wasn't like Casemiro was iffy and we were trying to keep him. We wanted him gone. So we knew Casemiro was gone and we knew we needed 3 midfielders. And actually, they were trying to sell Mainu at one point, so we probably needed 4. Let's not forget, the club nearly sold Mainu. So the reality is we've always needed 3 midfielders. What was the plan? What was the plan?
Elliot Anderson, you never even bid for, but you spent all season saying he was a priority. Tonali in the March international break, apparently you were after him, but then straight after it is too expensive. And then on top of that, you've got Fernandez, who, to be honest with you, I don't think he's a superstar. I think he's got potential, but I don't think he's a superstar. And we're in a bidding war with Spurs. What have we been doing for 12 months? Because I would have expected in March, if Mateus Fernandez was the player that we wanted, these are the terms. We want you. Let's get it done quickly. We walk into the window. We clearly haven't done any of these things. We clearly haven't got that deal lined up. That should have been as soon as the season over, you've been relegated. Let's get the deal done. For some reason, we're walking into this transfer window and we're sort of like going, ooh, we're monitoring that. It's like we're back in Tesco walking up and down the aisles without a shopping list. We're like, ooh, that looks good. Oh, no, they want it. Let them have it. Oh, no one's looking at that. Oh, someone's coming. Quick, buy it. Oh, I don't know. Quick, buy it. Spurs are walking up the alleyway. Get it quickly. It's on offer. I don't know. Oh, no, too late. I don't know what we've been doing for 12 months around this midfield. Because we're definitely in a situation with Fernandez now. When you listen to that Romano update this morning, if you haven't heard it or you didn't watch the morning show, what he basically said is, and we've done personal terms, right? We've done personal terms. Spurs are working on personal terms, but the indication is he would be open to moving to Spurs. Well, we better hope that's bullshit, because what Romano also said is it could come down to who goes to West Ham first with an offer they accept. Well, I'm sorry. I think that will be Spurs. I don't think I've misinterpreted this. I've been doing it for bloody years. He basically said it could come down to who goes to West Ham first with an offer they want to accept. Well, Spurs will do it. Spurs will factually do it, or we'll have to do it, and then we'll overpay. So I'm sort of like, our only play here is that Mateus Fernandez says, I don't want to go to Spurs. And that's sort of what I think is going to happen. Because if he genuinely is open to going to Spurs, they'll outbid us. They will. They'll outbid. I can't see us getting that deal done if he agrees to go to Spurs. And what I mean by that is, I've seen it before where a player will go, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, I'm happy to go to any one of you. It just depends what you offer the club. I don't want the club to get screwed over. I'm happy with all three of these projects and go to the club. Let's see what you can do. That has happened before. And that's not mercenary. That's just saying, I like your project. I like your project. I like your project. I'm not going to choose because I owe it to the club that they get the best deal for me. And I've seen this happen loads of times. So what happens then is, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal go to the club and they all offer 70, 60, 80. They take the 80 offer and the player's happy to go there. So that can happen. We don't like that happening. We like the player to go to the club that they've, you know, I mean, what we want them to do basically is quite mercenary. What we want Mateus Fernandez to do is say, I know Spurs are going to offer 75. I'm not going to Spurs. I'm only going to Man United, and I'm going to sit here until you accept their lower offer. You basically get the player to shit on the club that they've come through at. And that's our play. So, look, we're going to have to wait and see. I still think we'll get Mateus Fernandez, but it gets very interesting if Mateus Fernandez is open to going to Spurs. And also, let me just say, I was very derogatory about Spurs. We all are. But at the end of the day, if you walk around wearing clown shoes and clown hair and clown makeup, you're a clown. And Spurs have done that for a very long time. If they take those shoes off and they take the wig off and they wash the makeup off and they look like Brad Pitt, well, suddenly things are looking good. And look, we'll have to wait and see what Spurs do. But if they do get Tonali, and they do get Mateus Fernandez, and they do start doing well next year, and they are in the Champions League in a year, they might be in a better position than us. They might be. I mean, this morning there was talk of Rashford. Now, I actually think Rashford at Spurs is a very intelligent move. I don't know whether Rashford want to do it.
I think it'd be a very good move for Spurs. I think it's an ambitious move as well. I just don't think Rashford would want to do it. But look, their ambition is better than ours at this moment in time, isn't it? And yeah, but look, in relation to Mateus Fernandes, I still believe we will get him. I still don't really believe Spurs will go for Tonali and him. And I still don't really believe he chooses over Spurs. So I still think that, as frustrating as it is, and you can question our morals on this one, it's still up there, Jason. I think what's going to happen is we're just going to rely on Mateus Fernandes wanting to come to Man United, and therefore just sit there like Jason, like my dog, looking at West Ham going, we're not going to blink. And it's going to come down to West Ham going, okay, we'll take a low price. I think that's what's going to happen. It would get very interesting, and I do not want this to happen, but it would get very interesting if Mateus Fernandes said, I want to go to Man United and I want to go to Spurs. It's down to whoever puts the better offer on the table for West Ham, because then we've either got to pay up or get outbid. I also think as well, and this scares me slightly, when you think about buying two midfielders or walking away from Anderson and Diamande and Tonali and potentially Mateus Fernandes, let's pretend that happens. What worries me about that is that I don't know that anybody at United have actually figured out how lucky they are. I actually think they could go into the season next year with Edison, Fernandes and Fletcher and Mainoo and win the league. You know, listening back to that Andy Mitten Berarda interview, I genuinely think Berarda thinks we're not far off from winning the league. And I genuinely think they think those results from January to May are sustainable. I think they're not sustainable. I think they're brilliant results, but I do not think they're sustainable. The scary thing is, I think they are. And how long are we going to get away with that? How long into next season could we do what we did at the end of last season? I mean, look, I think we can win the first six games no matter what. I don't think we need to sign anyone. I think when you look at the first six games, if we just did exactly the same thing with Maguire and Martinez and Bruno and Mainoo and, you know, Edison instead of Casemiro, I still think we could win our first six games, but it's not sustainable long term. It's about how long you get away with that. And I think United think it's a long-term sustainable plan. I really do. If we're not going to get a third midfielder, we should forget about Fernandes and get Tchouaméni, says AJ. Well, look, the thing about Tchouaméni is, obviously, I've said that I think United might do something there, but let's not forget, he breaks one of the parameters. He's already on over 200 grand a week. So, you know, that would be a potential issue. Why is the most popular club going for... What was that? I'll come back to that. Arch says, despite the fact... Tell you what, I've got a bit of a breeze today. Despite the fact that Fernandes' deals looks hijacked, we still need to get a Tonali or a Tchouaméni. That is a must. Okay with Edison and Hall and Bergwijn. I don't know why Hall's back being mentioned again, Arch. I genuinely do not think Hall will be coming to United. That's my feeling about it. I bloody love it, but I don't think he will. Why is the most popular club going for four or options four or five, says Sandy. Denise says, club said Anderson, hoping Forest would get relegated, then Fernandes hoping the same. Cheap deals, but plan failed as both now too expensive for them. I want to believe we're not as incompetent as we all think. This summer, in previous summers, I'd have been two-footed in on this. They're bloody useless. This is, you know, I told you about Ineos. I've told you about Wilcox. I've told you about Berarda. They're bloody useless. I'm holding off from doing that for as long as I will do it, but I'm holding off in doing it for as long as possible because I have to believe picking Carrick, they're not so stupid to think that he can do it on a budget. The minute they went with Carrick was the minute I thought they've got to invest in him. Having said that, I've just remembered when they appointed Amorim, I was excited because I thought they've got to spend £500 million. We don't have players to play his system. We've got to spend £500 million and we didn't. So I don't know what I'm talking about really. But look, I still hold on to hope that they're not as incompetent as we think we are and that they can bring better players in quickly.
Emily Derry says Spurs know exactly how much to bid to blow us out the water because stupidly we have essentially broadcast our financial limits to the entire footballing world. Anyone with 81 million can gazumpers, says Emily. Exactly, Emily. And this has been said before on this channel. I think I know the parameters. All clubs have parameters, by the way. All clubs have unwritten rules about what they won't do. The problem is, I think all of ours are very easy to figure out. And also as well, I mean, look, Ineos wanted Michael Olise. Do you know why we didn't get Michael Olise, right? Michael Olise may well be a Man United player if we had Qatar in charge. The reason we didn't get Michael Olise was because Bayern Munich went in early and high. That's basically it. United really wanted Michael Olise, and we can't do anything with that. You know, I still see, you know, pro Glazer, Ineos, whatever you want to call him. I still see them going, remember, Ineos wanted Michael Olise. And I feel like going, they didn't get him.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's like waking up on Christmas morning and your parents saying, I know you've got a pair of socks, but we really wanted to get you a PS5. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't fucking worry about it then. I'll play with your imaginary PS5 that you wanted to get me. You didn't get me one, did you? You got me socks. You failed. You're rubbish, yeah? So, past trauma. Why didn't they get it me? But the point, it wasn't to pay a PS5, it was an Amiga. And I didn't get socks. I got a fucking tape recorder. I mean, what are you supposed to do on Christmas morning with a tape recorder? Oh, listen to the radio. Anyway, that's not for now. The problem is the parameters that are in play. Now, Michael Olise was a player that we really wanted to get. We didn't get him because we didn't go for him quick enough and we didn't go for him financially enough. So Michael Olise ends up going to Bayern Munich. This is what I'm talking about. Look at Michael Olise now. There's talk of Real Madrid spending £200 million on him. One of the best players in the world. United could have got him. And why didn't we get him? Ineos had literally just bought the club. You'd think didn't buy all of the club. But you'd have thought, Ineos, right? We've just come into the club. We've just got into bed with the Glazers. There's a lot of uncertainty and a lack of trust about who we are. Get Olise. Imagine if they got Olise as their first signing. We'd all go, wow, ambition. They didn't do it, right? Here we are 2 years later. This year's Olise is Diamande. Nah, not doing that. This year's Olise is Tonali. Nah, not doing that. This year's Olise is Anderson. Nah, not doing that. There's a running theme here. And look, I don't think we ever had a chance of getting Harry Kane. Oh, United wanted Harry Kane, you know. We didn't bloody get him, did we? Best striker in the world at the moment. Didn't get him. Didn't want to pay the money. So we are, you know, when people say, well, Diamande might flop, Anderson might flop. It doesn't matter because this is the way we deal with transfers. We didn't go for Olise because we didn't want to pay for it. We didn't go for Harry Kane because we didn't want to pay for it. They would have been absolute sure things. 2 years on, if we had Olise and Kane, imagine where we'd be. We didn't do it. And we're not doing it now. And the same thing's going to happen. We're going to keep missing out on players that could make us great. We have also known that until Glazers fuck off, our club will never have consistency and will always remain from top four to relegation. Torture, says Costa. Glynios is basically Starmer's Labour Party, says Callum. Let's not get political. How are you, Mark, says Andy. I'll tell you what, I'm absolutely loving this breeze outside, but undercover. I'm in the shade. It's lovely. Best community going. Thanks for all the great content, says Dave. Well, thank you for being part of it, Dave. I know we as a fan base want Fernandes, but I think buying him more than we did Pogba will hurt the player when he doesn't perform at the level with this fan base. He'd be under immense pressure, mate.
I've never really thought about it, but he would be under immense pressure, Mateus Fernandes, because he's basically our marquee signing. And I remember saying this back in May, tier one, tier two, tier three. Mateus Fernandes is the tier two with a marquee signing taking the pressure. Absolutely perfect. Coming in as the marquee signing, young, you know, we don't develop players either. It'd have to be the first player that we bought young that delivers. Have they spent the budget on the land, says Fahid? I don't know, mate. Patrick Lynch says, what these prices do as well is forces us to pay it anyway. Spurs buy Fernandes for 80 million plus. That becomes the market value. Any centre midfield we want will be measured against that value. Happened with Cunha and Mbeumo, says Patrick. Well, I know. And I sort of, again, pose the question, Patrick and everybody else. 12 months we've known that we needed to buy midfielders. And I go back to that summer where Jurgen Klopp bought four in one summer and rebuilt his midfield. Endo, McAllister, Gravenberch and Szoboszlai. He rebuilt a midfielder in one summer. Guarantee you, Liverpool had that planned out before May. Here we are, approaching the end of June. And as Patrick says, that the market value of midfielders is going up. So whatever our budget... Remember in April, it was put out there that the midfield budget is 150. Yeah, that was in April. The prices have gone up now. You're going to need 200. Whatever you were paying 150 on in April, you're going to have to pay 175, 200 on now because you messed up. You can't walk into a transfer window not knowing what you're doing. You have to hit it early to get the prices early. If you buy your midfielder early in the window, you won't be impacted by what Patrick's talking about, which is inflation of the market. But we're so predictable, aren't we? We're just sat there again, watching the world go by. Matty says, would you take Bergvall, Edison and Chiumini or three midfielders? At this point, and I don't want to say it, but at this point, I'm very much of the opinion that if we get three midfielders, as long as one of them's not Belaba, I'd be pretty happy. I believe Enmecha is Tonali level at 60. What do you think about that? I like Enmecha, Basil. Obviously, I'm very fortunate that we have the Bundesliga access. And I'm as part of having Bundesliga live football, I have access to the back system to, and I'm sure the Premier League has it and La Liga have it. We have access to ridiculous amounts of data from previous seasons, this season, clips, highlights. It's amazing. You can imagine the Bundesliga. It's very efficient. So every week you have access to this database where you can, there's player profiles, there's highlights, there's extended highlights. So I probably watch about 3 hours a week of stuff. And there's not many players in the Bundesliga that I don't know about, which is why, you know, Japan's, I want to call him Sane. It's not Sane. What's his name? Sano. Brilliant player. It's why I know about people like Diamande. And Meech is a very good midfielder. Very good midfielder. And Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund are the second best team in Germany. Real Madrid are looking at him. He is a good player physically. He's a really good player. I mean, I wish we'd got him instead of Edison and then get Fernandes and Chiumini. I don't know whether you can have Edison and Enmecha. I don't know. But look, if we're buying two midfielders and then it's only two or it's Enmecha, I definitely would do that. Yeah. Thank you very much. We're United not very good in the 80s, says Rupert. Wouldn't win the league in the 80s, but it was a different world, mate. And I don't think the club was being run like this. Despite the fact that Fernandes deals done that from Arch as well. Okay. I could talk and talk and talk. It's a lovely, lovely show today. And it's very refreshing being out here with you all as well. So hopefully you've enjoyed the video. I'm not finished yet. I'm just saying I could talk and talk and talk. But it's really... Actually, I could just do a live stream all day from here. We just don't get the weather. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I needed the vent, really. Just frustrated. But look, I still believe we'll get three midfielders, but I also am aware of the warning signs, which I think we need to be. I prefer Scott, says Naveen, but I will be mad if the club decide Fernandes is the guy and walk out because they think he's expensive and lose a race to fucking Spurs. Yeah. Well, look, yes, there is an 8 o'clock show tonight. I'm on it. 8 o'clock show tonight. We're live. in the studio. 6 o'clock, it's Rangnick against Messi, Argentina, Austria on That's Football. 10 o'clock, it's France. And then 1 a.m., I'm doing Norway against Senegal. So I've got three watch-alongs today on That's Football, and we've got an 8 o'clock show. So, lots to get our teeth into. I have to answer this question before I go. Somebody said, hand on heart, is Fernandes signing for Manchester United? I cannot give you that answer. I'm not ducking it. I cannot give you that answer. What I will say is, I think we will sign him. I think we've been down this road so many times. Even Mbeumo was a little bit like it. We take so long on deals, there's naturally always a period of time where we think it's going to go wrong. And then we get it done. And in some ways, I think United do use that to their advantage. I think they almost like a deal to go like this so that when they get it done, they can go, hey, here we are. So I think we've been down this road a lot of times where we think a deal. I mean, I remember this happening with Pogba as well. We thought we got Pogba and it took weeks. And then we were like, it's going to fall through. And then there was talk of Real Madrid and we got it. So I do think we will get Mateus Fernandes. It's a very familiar, long, drawn out transfer that we do all the time. So I do think we will get him. I cannot see a world where we lose to Spurs. And I think the Champions League is a big, big plus. And I think Bruno Fernandes is a big, big plus. If we weren't in the Champions League and Bruno had left, maybe I'd be a little bit more worried. But I genuinely think we'll get the deal done. But having taken the piss out of them, and they deserve to have the piss taken out of them. I know loads of Spurs fans and they accept that, you know, their club's been run badly. They're just hoping that this is a new Spurs. If it is, I'll applaud their ambition because it's better than ours. But I do think we'll get Mateus Fernandes and I do think we'll get another midfielder. But I can't lie and ignore the fact that it wouldn't surprise me if United got Mateus Fernandes and then when we don't need another midfielder, we've got Fletcher, you know? And I'd be like, Ederson, Fletcher, Maynou and Mateus Fernandes would be terrifying as a midfield four next season, if we're being completely honest. But no, I think we will get him. Some sources are saying Diamande to Liverpool is done. And you know what? That's something not to ignore as well. It really does annoy me that Elliot Anderson's going to sign for City because they're a Premier League club. It really does annoy me that Diamande is going to sign for Liverpool because they're a rival as well. Like, these are players that take United to the next level. And our rivals are getting them. And it's almost like playing snakes and ladders, isn't it? Oi, where do you think you're going? Come here. Just because you've heard someone barking, Jason. Come on, up you come. Come and say hello. Come on. There she is. Yeah, it's almost like if you're playing snakes and ladders, and yeah, you're bothered about the barking, aren't you? That's why you're doing that yawn just means let me go. I'm not stupid. It's almost like if you're playing snakes and ladders, if we keep throwing a two, we're only going to go so far. And if Liverpool and Man City and Arsenal keep throwing a five and a six, they're going to go ahead, aren't they? What we're basically hoping is that when they throw in a five and a six, they land on a snake and they fall down. And what we're hoping is when we throw a two or a three, we hit a ladder and we go up. But 9 times out of 10, if they keep throwing a five and a six and we keep throwing a two and a three, they will win the race. There might be the occasional slip down a snake and there might be occasional ladder for us. But over the long term, if they keep throwing a five and a six and we keep throwing a two and a three, they're going to win. What that means is if they keep signing plan A and B, and we keep signing D and E, it's the same as the two and the three and the five and the six. And that's my concern, is that consistently we're shopping at a lower level than everybody else. And you can take it back to Elise. Ineos wanted Elise, but they didn't really because they wouldn't pay. Man United want a Harry Kane, but they didn't really because they didn't want to pay. And those two players 2 years ago, where would we be today? We've already had the proof. Some people are so naive, they're thinking, well, maybe Diamande won't work. Maybe Anderson won't work. We've already missed out on those types of players before because Ineos won't pay and we'll keep doing it. I'm back with you at 8 o'clock.
thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you've enjoyed us being outside. Hopefully we can do some more of these this week. It's been great fun. And as I tell you what, whenever I do it outside as well, it's so much better for my mental health. We seem to get a lot more off our chest and stuff. So I think I've just seen the dog in the next garden. Oh God, it's going to kick off. Anyway, great. Everyone, thank you so much. Keel says, hand on heart, it's Belabour joining United. What a way to end the show. Mate, I said in January, Belabour will sign for United. I will laugh my head off if we sign him. I think he is such a risk. I just don't know what we'd be doing that. And I'd love to know what we'd pay for him as well. Imagine buying a player that's been shit all season, who's a massive risk, and then spending 70 million on him. That's scary, but surely we won't do it. But I just have a feeling. Anyway, thanks everyone for watching. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Actually, I'm not back on here next, am I? I'm on at 6 o'clock on That's Football Argentina against Rangnick Austria. So I'll see you there. Take care.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.